Okay, so we're going to start Perek Chet, chapter 8, which again is a continuation of what we saw in Perek Zayin. We saw the start of Yeshaya's message to Achaz. We had two sons as messages, Sha'ar Yashuv and Immanuel, telling us, God is bringing the Assyrians, they're going to destroy the Assyro-Ephraimite alliance, Judea may go into exile, but it's going to come back, Sha'ar Yashuv. And then we get chapter 8, and I gave you on the sheet an outline of what's going to happen here. The first part of it is the message of the third son, Meher Shalal Chashbaz, which is going to be a message, as I put on your sheet, the Assyrians are coming soon. Then a message that you should slow down, Achaz, and you should trust in God. Emmanuel will resurface in that message. Then a forceful message to Yeshaya, don't make alliances with these other nations, before a prediction of the fall of the north of Yisrael. Okay, let's take a look at the opening four sentences. Chapter 8, it's page 967. And here we get a message that, going back to what I said to you before, Ralph, this is going to be a written message. Vayomer Hashem Elai, God said to me, Yeshaya, Kach lacha gilayon gadol, take a great big sheet of paper. I don't know that it was paper, papyrus, parchment, whatever material this was. A big sheet of something. Uchsav alav becheret enosh, and write on it, literally, with the cheret. Cheret is? It's usually some form of inscribing tool. Stylus, it can be, I don't know, how do they translate it here? They take script. They say it's about the script itself. That's with a taf. Charuta haluchot is with a taf. Becheret enosh, but with the script of man is what it sounds like right now. They say it's clear script. That's because we have to explain what the script of man is. Le of Maher Shalal Chashbaz. Now, those words, Maher, quick, soon, quickly, you know, with haste, Shalal, spoils, right? Chash is again a term for quick. Chusha, right, to run quickly. Buzz is again taking spoils. So spoils are going to be taken soon, is basically the message, but it is repeated, right? Messages that are repeated signify what? Emphasis, exactly. Or, as Yosef said to Paro, coming soon. The Maher Elokim La'asoto. So that's the message here in this double name. Good. V'aid ali edim ne'emanim. And I have for myself two loyal witnesses, Es Uriah Kohen, Uriah the priest, Ves Zechariahu ben Yevrechiahu, and Zechariah ben Berechiahu. We're going to have to talk about who these are. And then Yeshaya says, I was with the Nevi'ah. Here we assume it is Yeshaya's wife. She is called Nevi'ah, whether she was a prophet in her own right or not. We have no record of a prophecy from her. Don't know. Batahar Vateled Bain. And she became pregnant. She had a son. Vayomer Hashem Eli. And God said to me, Kirash Shemo, Maher Shalal Chash Baz. That's the name of your kid. Splendor quickly. Splendor? No. Spoils and plunder do not make splendor. Fine. Spoils quickly.
What a name to carry.
Yes. Oh, come on. Once Tanakh has Machlon and Kilion, all bets are off. The Ki beterem yeda hanar kero avi ve'imi. Because before the child knows to call father, mother, Yisa eschel damesek ve'shalal shomron lifnei melech Ashur, the wealth of Damascus, Aram, and the spoils of Shomron, the northern kingdom, will be carried before the king of Assyria. That's how soon the invasion is happening. Okay, this is fascinating. First of all, it's a written message now instead of a spoken message. Right? Number two, large piece of paper. Why?
Poster for the public,
precisely. Sorry? That's a long name. And what in the world are Uriah and Zechariah doing here? Who in the world are they? So, the first two names that we had, Sha'ar Yashuv and Emmanuel were names of hope. We're going to return. God is with us. God is with Judea. This name looks at how the other half lives. And it says that Yisrael is going to be exiled and soon. But that's also a message of hope for Judea, because it means you don't have to be afraid of them invading you. Right? Your fear has been the Syro-Ephraimite alliance. You don't have anything to worry about. Okay. The large sheet of paper. So Rashi says that the idea of a large sheet of paper is for clarity. And that's why they take it here. Chered Enosh means it's a very clear script. But there are quite a few other explanations which are fascinating for what's going on here. I love Radak's approach here. This is the best. Take a look at source number 6. Uva Omro Gadol, when it says to use a large piece, Vahulo Tzivalechto Boela Arbatevos, but God only said to write four words. Ulai Hayudvarim Rabim. Sorry, oh right, just English, thank you. He says, maybe there were many words about Meher Shalal Chashbaz. In other words, maybe that wasn't the whole message. Could be there was more. But then he says, or there were only these four words, and the paper was large because it was an artistic statement. Here's this great big canvas with four small words. Like the land of Israel is going to be a large canvas with only Judea remaining, with only a few remaining. So Radak says, it's art. That's what you're presenting. Ralph, message for the masses. It's a visual. Everybody can take a visual. That's the way Radak reads it. I thought that was fascinating. Malbim also thinks it's art. Flip the page to source number 7, please. I didn't translate on a few of the sources on this side because I wanted to fit everything on that double-sided page. But I'll translate it now. Malbim says also that it's artistic, literally artistic. He says he wanted Yeshaya to make pictures of people who are fighting and taking spoils. That's what he's supposed to draw on this. So when it says, back in sentence 1, write on it with this script, I want you to demonstrate people taking spoils. With pictures that will show that. To show, spoils will be taken from the northern kingdoms. Yes. It's an illuminated manuscript. You got it. That's the way Malbim reads it. Abarbanel says no. Abarbanel says that the reason why there's a lot of space here is because of sentence 2. Because sentence 2 says that I'm going to have other prophets. Uriah and Zechariah are also going to testify. Their words are going on the page also. So you're leaving room in order for them to be able to add their own message. However you read it, the message is clear, right? The message is the northern kingdom is going to be conquered soon. But here's the problem. Who are Uriah and Zechariah? Who are these people? It's really strange, because we met Uriah last week. He was the Kohen, right. What did he do? Do you remember what he did? We talked about Ahaz and his idolatry, right? And we said that Ahaz went to Aram to greet the Assyrians, and he saw the altars there, and he sent a message home to Uriah the Kohen saying, build altars like that in the temple, in the Beit HaMikdash. Uh-oh. This is the fellow you want to have as a prophet of God? The one who built an altar for idolatry in the temple, in the Beit HaMikdash? That's really hard to swallow. Ibn Ezra says, could be. Ibn Ezra says, yeah, that one. That's your Uriah. And the truth is, he's the only candidate we have. We don't know any other Uriahs. You can't go back in time to Uriah Achiti, right? Like, who's it going to be? So they suggest, yeah, it's Uriah, despite what he did on behalf of Ahaz. That's one take. That's one prophet. Who is this Zechariah? So I gave you a reference on the sheet, which, in the interest of time, we're not going to look up. It's in Divrei Yamim Bet that there's a Levi by this name in the days of Chizkiyahu. The problem with that explanation is, yeah? The problem with that explanation is that we know nothing about him. if God is appointing him as his emissary, you'd think he'd have some kind of a position, get some kind of a message. At least Uriah is the Kohen Gadol. Even if I don't know what he said, I know he said something. This, the Zechariah, I got nothing. However, we do have a Zechariah ben Berechiah. Who is Zechariah ben Berechiah? The Zechariah. Yes, that one. If you flip to... Hang on. If you flip to... page 1407. The eighth month of the second year of King Darius, the word of God came to Zechariah, son of Berechiah, son of Iddo Hanavi. Berechiah Yeverechiahu is a legitimate read, meaning that we find names of God attached to names and taken away from names throughout Tanakh all the time. Micha is Michayahu, Yeshaya, Yeremiah, we do that. That doesn't bother me in the least. What might bother us is what Gita pointed out, which is, this is the second year of King Darius. King Darius the Persian, as in the beginning of the Second Temple period. How? Why? We just rejected the idea that God gave a message to Ahaz about events 733 years in the future, right? But you're now calling upon someone who's 200 years in the future, give or take, right? He has to be, he's in the second generation of the Second Temple, right? And you have, in between the first and second temple, you have 70 years. And the first temple ain't over yet. You have decades and decades to go still. The first, you got to talk about a couple of hundred years later. Take a look, please, on your sheet at source number 9. The classic, the Gemara in Makos. Number 9 on your sheet, the Gemara at the end of Makos. This is the story, the classic of Rabbi Akiva with the sages walking near the Temple Mount. And they see foxes walking around on the Temple Mount in the ruins. And the other sages are crying and Rabbi Akiva is laughing. And they say to him, why are you laughing? And he says, this is why I laugh. It is written, our sentence. I will call loyal witnesses, Uriah the Kohen and Zechariah ben Yeverechiah. I can't get that down. How are they connected? Uriah is in the first temple. Zechariah in the second temple. He assumes that this Zechariah is Zechariah ben Berechiah. The text, meaning, is Zechariah ben Berechiah of the second temple. So he says the text links their prophecies. That's what Yeshaya is doing. In the same way that Yeshaya will one day predict Cyrus, Yeshaya here is predicting Zechariah. And what he's saying is, Uriah said, because of you, Tzion will be plowed over. That was a vision of destruction. Zechariah said, elders will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, right, connoting safety, restoration of normal life. Until Uriah's prophecy was fulfilled, I worried that Zechariah's prophecy would not be fulfilled. But now, Uriah's prophecy was fulfilled, Tzion is in ruins, so now we know as well that Zechariah's prophecy will be fulfilled too. Ibn Ezra says, this is drash. There's no question this is drash. What he's trying to do is explain why it is that we would make a prediction of Uriah and Cyrus, and not Cyrus, Uriah and Zechariah in the same sentence. So he says, because it's giving us a very particular message about the future. That's the idea. I have two more quick notes on this, if we can get them in. First of all, the business of giving a sign in writing, right, as opposed to the verbal messages from before. So we already noted that maybe this is for the masses, for everybody to see. But I think there's another element here. We mentioned this when we talked about Ahaz being offered a visible sign that he, of course, rejected. Hashem said to Yeshaya back in Perek Vav in chapter 6, they're going to hear and not listen. They won't really comprehend. They're going to see and not understand what they're seeing. They have had verbal messages that were rejected. Now there's a visual message to be rejected. I think it's the hearing versus seeing that is going on here. That's number one. Number two, something very interesting that I just wanted to note for you. In Pasuk Gimel, in sentence 3, there's a gap. Did you notice that? Do your text show it? After it says, I drew close to the Nevi'ah, she became pregnant, and she produced a son, there's actually Piska Be'emtza Pasuk. There's a gap there. And then Hashem said to me, name him dot, dot, dot. I don't know why there was a gap there. I can't find any commentator who has anything to say about it, except Minchat Shai, which is one of the texts of record for such things, says you should know not all editions have the gap. I don't just mean no, but I mean like parchment, like classic source text type things. So I don't know what it's doing there. I would welcome if anyone can think about this during the week. This is homework. And think about it. That would be great. What I want to do next week, we did make it into chapter 8 for the record. But what I want to do next week is complete chapter 8 and even make it into Perek Tet. Actually, what we're going to have to do at the end of chapter 8 at some point in here in chapter 9 is talk about Achaz's reaction, which Yeshaya never gives us, but we're going to see it from Malachim and Divrei Hayamim, and we'll see how Achaz responds to him. But that's coming up within chapter 8, chapter 9. Thank you very much.